I'm missing Cindy Snyder tonight. She's usually seated right there, and she's really friendly with her eyes. She listens well with her eyes. So I question if I'll be able to get through this tonight because she's not here. I'm not sure where she is, but wherever she is, I only hope that she's not speeding. It's my only hope. Okay. Richard is our maintenance guy here at church, and some of you probably know Richard better than some of you, than others, but I mean, I've known Richard for quite a number of years, but I've only worked with him almost 5 years, and Richard has a saying. It's kind of a go-to saying. He would say, "Well, that's the way Daddy does it. Or that's the way Daddy did it." So it doesn't matter how things happen, he would always reference either Daddy did it that way or Daddy didn't do it that way. I bring that up because my dad called me today, and we were chatting, and he's like, "So are you teaching tonight?" And I said, "I am. I'm teaching in the sanctuary." He's like, "What are you teaching on?" And I said, "Well, Dad, I'm teaching on this," and I told him, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, it's so good," because I learned this from my dad. I'm not sure where he learned it, but I'd like to teach it to you guys tonight. And so if you'll bear with me, step back in time, if you're old enough, to a day where you were in school. We are going to have a lesson. No, Lisa's going, "No, no." That was only, what, like 15 years ago for you, right? See? Okay. So if you are if you're a learner, if you're a sponge, if you just absorb information, this is going to be hopefully interesting for you. If you're not an absorber of information, I hope it's still interesting for you. Those things that Richard learned from his dad, whatever it is, mechanical or construction or just maintenance. I learned a lot from my dad about the Bible. And I've said this, you guys have heard me make the statement before, that three things I can talk about at the drop of a hat. My family and, you know, like dads, parents, grandparents. They love to talk about their kids and their grandkids. And I'm just ready to go. Anytime you want to ask me something, I'll bore you to death. Stories about my family. And the other one is sports, preferably football, but doesn't mean I'm not versed in other sports. March Madness is right around the corner, Charlie. What is Duke ranked right now? 10? Okay. What's North Carolina ranked? Don't want to talk about it? Are they higher than 10? I really didn't know. Just asking. Looks could kill. So sports is another one. And then the third is the Bible. And so I'd like to show you guys something interesting about the Old Testament tonight. All right. So the Bible is divided into two sections, right? And the books of the Old Testament are something that we're going to discuss tonight. So you have the Old Testament and the, thank you, you guys are already ahead of the game. The Bible has two testaments, a total of how many books? 66. Okay, so this is call and response tonight. You guys interact with me. It's totally fine, and we're just going to have class. So, 66 books total. There are 27 books in the New Testament. That leaves 39 for the Old, all right? And so that's where we are. We have books of the Old Testament. There are 39 books, and they're broken down into five different divisions. Now, some people think that the Bible is written chronologically, and that's because we start in Genesis, you know, and in the beginning, and we just assume then, you know, Revelation is like future. And so we're thinking, oh, the whole Bible's chronological, but that's not true. And it is not true in the old, did she message? What? Go ahead, share with us. What did Cindy just say? Hi, Cindy. You shouldn't be speeding, Cindy. Man. No tickets tonight, Cindy. It'll be okay. You can go slow. Be safe. 39 books in the Old Testament. Okay, so it's not chronological. So I'd like to tell you how they're broken down tonight, and you guys can help me. We'll see how well you absorb, all right? I'd like to teach you this little jingle. Are you ready? 5-12-5-5-12. I'll say it again. 5-12-5-5-12. Can you guys say it with me? 5-12-5-5-12. Oh, and it helps that it's up there on the screen, okay? So you guys kind of remember that, 5-12-5-5-12. If you can, you are on your way to knowing the five divisions of the Old Testament. So the first division of the Old Testament is five, okay? Of 5-12-5-5-12, there's five groupings there. So the first five books of the Old Testament are books of the law. They were written by Moses. They are, in fact, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they are the Torah, they're the Pentateuch. The Jewish nation still uses the Torah, and it's something that they live by. And Moses is the author of these five books, all right? So the first five are books of the law. So the first five are the books of the? Very good. The second grouping is 12. If we're going to go 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. The second grouping has 12 books, and they're the books of history, all right? And you can read all great historical accounts in these books. They are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. All right, books of history. The first five books of the Old Testament are books of the? The second 12 are books of? All right, 5, 12. How many books does the next grouping have? Five, all right. And they are books of poetry. They include Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Each of these books contain a hint, or more than a hint, of poetry, the style. Job is historical in its first two chapters and last chapter, and everything in between really does have a story form slash poetic feel, all right? And then we know that Psalms is filled with forms of poetry. Proverbs written by Solomon. Of course, he also wrote Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And so those are the books of poetry. So the first five books are the books of the? Second 12 are the books of? The third grouping are books of? Look at you guys. Okay, so how many books does the next section have? Okay, 5-12, 5-5-12. The fourth grouping are books of major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Lamentations is not a prophet, just in case you didn't know that. Lamentations is a book. It means to lament or to mourn, okay? And so Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. That's just for free. That's a tidbit. You won't be tested on that one later. But Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are the four authors of the books known as major prophets. And now we come to the last section. And this section makes a lot of people cringe. Because it's harder to understand these books in ways, but it's very difficult to pronounce the names of these books. So the last grouping, if we have 5, 12, 5, 5, the last grouping has 12, and these are books, minor prophets, 12 books of minor prophets. And they are, drum roll, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. If you say Habakkuk, that's okay. I don't. I say Habakkuk. So it kind of depends on your preference. Have you ever called it Habakkuk? Yes? Okay. Jay was honest, yeah. And he might still call it Habakkuk. I love him anyway. But I call it Habakkuk. Okay. So these books make up the books of the Old Testament. Who would like to give me the little jingle? I mean, one person to give me the little jingle that we remember these books by. The Numbers, not Josiah. Go ahead, Iva.
5, 12.
You get a gold star. Very good. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. One person, could they tell me the first five books of the Old Testament? They are the books of what? Law. Did you say law? Somebody over here said law. It was Doc. I give Butch credit, Doc. Thought it was Butch. Books of the law. Okay, very good. The second grouping, group of 12. I need one person to tell me. Jeremy? History. Books of history. Very good. The third grouping, a grouping of five, they are the books of poetry. You guys are rocking this. The next grouping is a group of five, and it's the books of major prophets. And then the last one we have, a grouping of 12, and they are known as books of minor prophets. When we were going through books of the Bible in the Fusion class, back when it was called Winner Circle, I remember challenging someone, anyone in class. I said, I'll challenge you to see who can say the books of the Old Testament faster. And this person got up and rattled them. And I was like, man, that's impressive. I don't know if I can beat that. But I challenge you guys. The Bible is the most important book. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Why not learn as much of it as you possibly can? And so the books of the Bible are a great place to start. I love the verses of the week. I think we're having a blast with these. It's exposure, okay? It's just, Tyler was telling me that, was it today you guys had a seminar on some building materials and things? 45 minutes for you. How are you going to learn about that? It's exposure to it. It's knowledge. It's information concerning that. We should use and look at the Bible the same way. Books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are those 39 books. Okay, so thank you. Now that I'm winded, we'll go ahead and get into the teaching tonight. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at the very first chapter. I want to give you an update on Pastor. Pastor's been a busy, busy bee, getting attention, getting physical attention and assistance. He had stent number 2 put in today. Monday, they put in a stent, and then today they did as well. And it took a little bit more time than what they thought. But the good news is, if he recovers well and gets his strength back and all vitals are good, he might get to come home tomorrow. Okay? And no one's more excited about that than Pastor, because it's been a week. He went in ER last Thursday. And so tomorrow, well, he'll be ready to come home. And we hope that that is the case. If he is strong enough and if the doctors believe he is ready, that he will get released and be able to come home. I talked to him a couple times this week, and he's like, how are things there? Tell me what's going on. How's everybody doing? Tell me about this and this. And he just started naming some things that we discussed throughout the day. And wanting to get caught up. His heart is definitely here. And we're excited that he'll be feeling better. Got to feel better. After the blockage that he had, got to feel better. Psalm chapter 1, 6 verses here. David, writing the book of Psalms, gives us some great insight and information in this first chapter. And this is a portion of Scripture that I was exposed to extremely early, because there's so much richness and goodness here from the heart of God. And I've got not only my Bible, which is King James, but I have the Amplified tonight. And so it's interesting, if you've never been exposed to the Amplified Bible, here's the difference between the KJV and an Amplified Bible. If you ask me about an event, I'll give you KJV. If you ask my wife about the same event, you get the Amplified. Okay? It's just a little longer, a few more details. Hold on. So tonight, in verse 1, David writing, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The Amplified has this: "Blessed, prosperous, favored by God is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor follow their advice or example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of ridiculers." There's a progression here that David wants you to see, and he wants me to see as well. First, he said, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And there are times where we find ourselves tempted to do something that the world is doing, even though we know it's wrong. And we find ourselves going in a similar path as they are going. And in so doing, we're walking with them on their road, and their destination isn't leading into the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to be very mindful that one thing quickly leads to another. David said, you're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So don't walk with them. And he said, nor stand in the path of sinners. Don't then stand. Here's what happens. You're walking with someone and you're following them, and then when there's a destination, then there's a standing, and we're here together. And I feel like I bring so many stories into this, but you know, I can be out and about, I can be at the gym, and I'm walking from point A to point B, from one machine to the next, and we're talking, somebody will walk up to me and we're talking, and that's fine because I'm going to get to a spot here. But then when we get there and we've stopped and we're standing and they're still going, then I'm trapped. That sounds bad. But then I'm listening, then I'm receiving, then I'm getting influenced by, you know. Up until then, it was kind of a short trip, but now it's this. And David said, look at this in the spiritual. Realize you can't walk with the wrong crowd and not be affected by them. Also realize you better not stop and stand with that crowd, or you're going to be affected by them. And then he took it a step further and he said, don't sit down in the seat of scoffers. Don't walk with them, don't stand with them, don't sit with them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good morals. You can't hang with someone who doesn't walk the path that you walk and not be affected by them. Realize that your character, your reputation is compromised by the decisions that you make. And you have to walk in wisdom. And I've heard people say this before. Well, Jesus did it. Jesus ran with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. And he absolutely did. I'm not Jesus, okay? I carry the Spirit of God with me, but I'm flawed. He was flawless. He was tempted and stood strong. I haven't always stood strong. I haven't always made good decisions. He's always made good decisions. And I've said, you know, if I'm addicted to hot fudge sundaes, and I do like hot fudge sundaes, I'm not going to go hang out at Dairy Queen. because I can't. I'll be affected by that. Someone who's a recovering alcoholic, they can't just go hang in a bar, you know? And whatever whatever level of temptation and sin that your path takes, you have to be very, very mindful that good decisions will direct your outcome. And you're not Jesus, okay? Make wise decisions. Be not deceived, because evil communication corrupts good morals. Verse 2, the Bible says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. I've spoken about this before. It was in junior high that we had to learn a little bit about cows. And I thought, well, this is odd. But I learned that a cow has multiple stomachs, okay? Which is weird. I mean, I don't think I would want multiple stomachs. That's just me. But so a cow will go out, and a cow will graze in a field and get some grass. And you'll see this cow, and he's just chewing on this and chewing on it, and it's dripping. And he's chewing and chewing and chewing, and eventually he gets to a point where he swallows it, and it goes into one of his stomachs, okay? And it's the same, we do the same thing. We maybe not chew that long. I don't chew near enough. It tastes so good, I just inhale it. But after they've absorbed and got it, and they swallow it, they put it into their stomach. Later in the day, they have the ability to regurgitate that crass that has already been chewed and somewhat digested, and they bring it back up and let you on it some more. We call it cud. And here's what they say. I don't think I got all the goodness out of that grass earlier. I'm going to chew it up and get some more goodness out of it. I'm going to get, Bria's going, oh. But here's the beauty of this particular illustration. This is what this verse is picturing. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And that's the Word of God, okay? Don't misconstrue this. It's not like the commandments, the thou shalt. That's part of it. But it's what Miss Betty said. For God so loved the world. God, thank You that You love me. And I know that verse, and I've chewed on it before, and I've swallowed it. But guess what? Tonight, I need to be reminded that You love me above all else. And so I'm going to recall that, and I'm going to chew on it some more. And I'm going to meditate. That's what the cow is doing with that cud. He is chewing on it and getting all the goodness out of it. And that's the beauty of God's Word. We should meditate on it. When my heart gets overwhelmed, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I know that if I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress and my God, and in You will I trust, because You'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You'll cover me with Your feathers, and under Your wings I will trust, and Your truth will be my shield and buckler. Those are things you recall when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to solve the problems of the world and you can't go back to sleep. God, I thank You that You are my peace. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God that passes all understanding. You can't even fathom God's peace. It'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says that the wise man's delight is in the word of the Lord. And in His word, His precepts, His teachings, he meditates, chews, and is consumed day and night. These are very important truths, because the Word of God, there is no substitute for the Word of God. It is priceless. And if the Bible was taken away from us today, would you have enough in you to sustain you? It's an interesting thought. While we have it, let's read it, let's memorize it, and let's meditate on it, okay? Verse 3, the Bible says, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Prosper is a word that is synonymous with success. Everyone here would confess that you want to be successful. What's different is how you define success. Is success how much money you make? Depends on who you ask. Is success getting everything in life that you've ever wanted? Is success people knowing who you are and people appreciating your fame? Is success based on power? See, people define success differently. And did you guys know that the word success is in the Bible one time? Interesting. Now, prosper, that's a synonym, means the same. But I thought, what scripture has the word success in it? And it's Joshua 1:8. God speaking to Joshua. After Moses died, leading 2 million people out of Egypt, Moses dies and Joshua is to take over, and it is an overwhelming task. And God comes to Joshua in chapter 1, and he says this, Joshua, if you want to be successful, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, your success is not based on your name or your fame. It's based on me. It's based on me, your faith in me, your trust in me, your meditation upon me. Keep your eyes focused on me. When did Peter sink? When he took his eyes off Jesus, okay? And God said, Joshua, meditate in me, and then you'll have good success. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Amplified says, the wicked, or those who live in disobedience to God's word, are not so. They are like the chaff which is worthless and without substance, which the wind blows away. Now, as a kid, when I heard this verse, I didn't really fully understand chaff, and you know, if they're in the fields, they're harvesting, and you just see pieces of stalks and, you know, different parts of the harvest just kind of flying around. It has no substance, it has no will of its own. As a kid, I always went someplace different. Westerns were big growing up at my house in the 70s. Dad liked to watch Gunsmoke and stuff like that. And it seemed like every good Western had a gunfight. And every good gunfight had a couple things. One was a little music that kind of kept you in anticipation. And the other one was a tumbleweed. Tumbleweed, well, I would just go flying across. Here these two guys are getting ready to go at it, and they're going to, you know, draw. And you see a tumbleweed go across. And I think this tumbleweed has absolutely no will of its own. Wherever the wind blows, that's where it's going to go. That is the foundation of the wicked. They have no root. They have no substance. Whatever feels good, they do it. Oh, this is cool now. I think I'll do that. Oh, this is popular now. I think I'll do that. Oh, we have no gender now. I identify as a cat. Yes, I think we'll do that. They just have no substance. It's whatever feels good. It has nothing to do with truth. It has nothing to do with the promises of God's word. I got to put a pin in this because I want to embarrass Cindy Snyder. She just walked in, and Cindy, you didn't get a ticket? Okay. So we're talking about being good law-abiding citizens tonight. It's a good thing that Cindy has arrived. We're thankful that you're here and in one piece. Don't be like the tumbleweed. Have a root grounded in God, in relationship with Him, and not religion. not steeped in just things that you do, traditional. I've said this before, for years growing up, I didn't know. We used to take up offering, but we always took up offering at the end of song service, and on the fourth verse, the ushers would come forward. And I'm like, I can't ever find that in the Bible. Fourth verse of this song, that's when we take up the tithe. It wasn't like it was unbiblical, but it was something that we always did. And sometimes things that we always do, we put our faith and trust in that. And that ought not to be. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Amplified says, therefore the wicked will not stand unpunished in God's judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. You know, there are judgments that are going to take place. And the righteous judge will judge one day. Christians will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that will be fine, because we will be judged holy and righteous in the bride of Christ. But there will be another judgment, and it's talked about in Revelation chapter 20. Those who were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And this is what this verse is talking about. The wicked will not get away with it. Okay? We look at people and we think, oh, they're living this lavish lifestyle and they're doing whatever they want. And look at the boat they have and the car they drive and the house they live in. They're just having the time of their life. But see, God doesn't always pay up in October. Okay? It might be a Jezebel situation. Jezebel walked in evil decisions as queen, but it wasn't until a certain time that God says, now your life will be required of you, and someone threw her out of a window, and the Bible says the dogs licked up her blood. It didn't happen just like that. And so don't think that people are getting away with it. Don't compare yourself to them. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. They will be punished. And sinners will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Amplified says, for the Lord knows and fully approves of the way of his righteous saints, but the way of the wicked will perish. God smiles whenever you make a decision to walk in obedience to his word. And it's something that maybe we've pushed aside a lot. Josiah's in here, and he's my oldest. And I love him no matter what, and I always will. But if Josiah decided when he was younger to go play in the street, and he got hit, and he got hurt, that would hurt me. And I certainly then wouldn't come up to Greg and say, hey, Greg, I want to brag on my son. Did you hear what he did? He went out and played in traffic, and now he's in the hospital. Isn't that awesome? No. See, and Father God's he's the same way. Did I stop loving him? Absolutely not. Did it make me smile and happy that he made that decision and now he's hurt? No. But on the other hand, hey, Greg, did you hear? There were a bunch of kids that were out playing in the street, and the cops came and they had to chase them off, but Josiah made the decision not to go out there because he knew he wasn't supposed to. I'm so proud of him. I love him regardless, but I'm proud of him when he's making good decisions. God loves you regardless. He's so proud of you when you're able to stand up and do the next right thing. When you're not swayed like chaff or tumbleweed. When you're meditating on him and not meditating on something that is poison for your mind, because garbage in, garbage out. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be blessed. But those times that I've said, well, you know what, God, I think I know better. I think I'm going to decide to do this. I know what it says in your word to do, but you didn't really mean that. That doesn't really apply to me. So I'm going to do my own thing. And then when I get hurt or I don't have success, I get mad at God. God, where were you? Why didn't you take care of me? Why didn't you bless me in that situation? Well, it's because there are a lot of buts in the Bible. And there are a lot of ifs and thens in the Bible. There are promises in the Bible. If I drop this microphone, it's going to fall because it's a law of gravity. Okay? If I'm generous with my money and I tithe, God's going to turn around and bless me. If I make good decisions in my family, in my marriage, in raising my children, God's going to bless that. And I'm going to be able to have that good success that he talked about. I love his word. I love the value of it. And I love Psalm 1. I see the truth and the promises. If we would just take these six verses, it'd be so much that we can learn and glean and live a better life for his glory, not for ours. I just have, and thank you guys for listening. I appreciate, and I hope that you can remember 5:12, 5:5:12, and maybe be able to look at the books of the Old Testament a little differently because they're valuable. I have a few announcements that I want to give you guys before we're dismissed. We've already talked about the verse of the week, and be faithful with that. There's power in that. You just take time and memorize what we're all chewing on together. This past Sunday was the 413 barbecue, and it was a huge success. If you were able to be here, I hope you were able to get some food. I think the last three or four or five people had to choose a hot dog or a turkey burger because we ran out of regular hamburgers. Sorry, Doc. Nevertheless, it was a successful fundraiser, and after the bills were paid, over $1,400 was cleared, and so that will be split among those that are going on the 413 mission trip. So, like, thanks to those who helped serve, who cooked, who participated, all of the above. It's a group effort, and so thank you for that. This Friday is camp meeting number 2. If you are interested in helping at Kids Camp, or you would just like to come and find out a little bit more about what we're doing, you can come tonight, not tonight, Friday night, you're invited, upstairs at 6:30. We will be brainstorming together as we move forward toward Camp 2024. And also, speaking of 2024, we have an election, primary election coming up. February is about done. So when March hits, we have an election. And so there are voters' guides over in Connection Corner that are free to you. And if you'd like to get that, there's information about different bills and different views, how some senators, representatives have voted in the past, and just some information for you. And so they are over there for you. Does anyone have a question, a comment, or a word before we're dismissed? Nothing, Cindy? All right. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the night, how we can come into your house, talk about you and the things that you have for us. Thank you that we can do that freely. God, I pray a blessing over everyone here tonight. I pray that they would see the value, that we would all see the value of meditating on your word and getting the goodness out of it and all your promises and your truth. God, I thank you for helping us to be wise, to make good decisions, to walk in your word according to your precepts, knowing that you have good and perfect things for us. Continue to heal Pastor, give him a good night. If all goes well, God, bring him home tomorrow. And thank you for walking with him through this trying situation. Thank you that he's going to be just feeling so much better. We give you praise for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.